What is the ultimate supreme goal of human life? The ultimate supreme goal, the final, the highest attainment, what is it? We should ask ourselves what we consider to be most important. What do we strive for? What do we daydream about? For some people it is material possessions, such as a large house with the latest luxuries, a fast car, or a well-paid job. For others it's reputation, good looks, power, excitement, or adventure. Many try to find meaning of life in relationships with people who are the objects of their desire. All of these things can make us superficially happy for a short while, but they can also cause us much worry and suffering. They can never give us the pure, everlasting happiness that all of us, in our heart of hearts, long for. Since we cannot take them with us when we die, if we've made them the principal meaning of our life, they will eventually let us down. As an end in themselves, worldly attainments are hollow. They are not the real meaning of human life. Sometimes when we hear that, we think, sounds like Buddhists don't want us to have any family or friends. They don't want us to, you know, care about others and so forth. No, it doesn't mean that. Of course we should have family, friends and acquaintances, and we should have everything normal, just like any human being. What it means is that if we invest the meaning of our life 100% in those things, you know, material wealth, success, relationships, even with our children and our parents, if we invest 100% of our, the meaning of our life, the ultimate goal of our life, in those things, they will let us down. It's not their fault. They don't want to let us down. They can't help it. Our family and friends have to pass away. They have to, you know, do whatever they have to do, and we'll be disappointed, discouraged, and unhappy. So if we've made them the 100% the meaning of our life, we'll find out. You probably know old people, they say, I don't know what my life was about. What was it all about? You know, it's all gone. So this isn't to say we shouldn't have a family and a job and a reputation. We shouldn't, of course, that's absolutely fine to have those things. It's what we do about them, isn't it? How we perceive them, how we recognize them. The only thing that will never deceive us is the attainment of enlightenment. So, okay, what is enlightenment? Here it is. This is the definition of enlightenment. And here I'm talking Buddhist enlightenment, not this thing that Western scholars talk about, which happened a few hundred years ago when we came out of the Dark Ages and we learnt to be scientific and so forth. I'm not talking about that enlightenment. This is Buddhist enlightenment. What does it mean? It means the inner light of wisdom. The inner light of wisdom. So wisdom is a mind. Wisdom is a mind. The mind you're listening to me with right now, that is your mind. Wisdom is a part of our mind. But it makes the mind filled with light. Not electric light, but the light of wisdom. Okay? What that means is our mind begins to see things exactly as they are. Begins to see things. Right now, all the things we see don't exist.
What do you mean they don't exist?
We'll see how this goes. So it's the inner light of wisdom, and it's completely free from all mistaken appearances. I'll talk about mistaken appearance in a minute. I'll explain that. So it's the inner light of wisdom. It's free from any mistaken appearances. And this is a great thing. Its function is to bestow mental peace upon each and every living being every day. The function of enlightenment, the function of enlightenment is to bestow mental peace. Mental peace. What we were trying to experience during the meditation. It's bestowing mental peace on each and every living being every day. Simply through the power of the mind of enlightenment, through the power of the enlightened mind. It's powerful. We all know people have certain powers, don't they? Just mental power. And when you're in the presence of certain people, you get a certain vibration from them, don't you? If you're in the presence of a very angry person, they don't have to say anything. You can feel it. Yeah? So we all know about minds affecting us. We're all affected by minds. But the mind of an enlightened mind is so powerful that whenever we receive it, we receive that power, we say blessings, we receive blessings, then our mind becomes peaceful. Yeah? And there's a special technique to receive these messages or these blessings more often. The technique is called, mind of faith, believing faith. Believing we're in the presence of all these holy beings. They're existing here and now with us. If we don't believe, it's like the windows are closed and there's no sunlight can come in. But if we do believe, it's like the windows are open and the sunlight streams into our house. With faith, the inner light of wisdom streams into our own mind and makes us peaceful and happy. It's as a function of Buddhas, that's what they do. All the virtuous thoughts we develop, all the good things we want to do, come through these blessings. We think it's all down to us, but in reality it's triggered by the blessings from enlightened beings. And why is that so beneficial? Is because it is only when living beings themselves take responsibility for changing themselves into better people and eventually into a, you know, highly evolved being, that they can do that. And no one else can make them do it. Not even Buddhas can make them do it. But what Buddhas can do is bless them. They can bless them and say, yes, I'll do something good, you know, I'll be generous, I'll be kind. It's like receiving a powerful message from enlightened beings. So this is our way of helping everyone, is basically to turn them on, switch them on, come on, switch on the inner light of your own wisdom. So this enlightenment, this mind of enlightenment, a Buddha's mind, is the source of happiness for every living being. It's the source of happiness. It's incredible when you think about it, the source of happiness. For example, we know for ourselves, our own source of happiness is our own mind. If our own mind is not peaceful, we're not happy. If our mind is peaceful, we are happy. Yeah? Who's got the most peaceful mind? The Buddhas. Their minds are completely peaceful all the time. So they can help us to achieve the same state where we are happy all the time too. So with the exception of enlightened beings, all beings experience mistaken appearances all the time, day and night, even during sleep. Woo, that's us. So we've got mistaken appearances. What does this mean? So whatever appears to us, whatever we see, hear, taste, touch, smell, or think about, whatever appears to our mind, we perceive it as existing from its own side. It appears to us as if it exists over there. This is mistaken appearance. You've got it now. I appear to be sitting over here, don't I? There seems to be a gap between your mind and me. There isn't. In reality, there's not. There's no gap. But we don't get that at all. We just don't get that. And this is consequences. We have suffering and problems. So for example, the thing we grasp at most tightly is ourself. We perceive our I and ourself and our mind as being inherently existent. What does that mean, inherent existence? If a thing had inherent existence, it means, the word inherent gives the clue, it means it would exist within itself. In other words, it would have no relationship with anything else. It would simply be an object that existed forever. It would never change. It would never change. And it would have no connection with anything else either. It would simply be inherently existent. Now this way of existing is what we're believing in all the time. But this way of existing is something completely impossible. When we analyze correctly, we'll see. Everything exists independent upon something else. Everything is dependently related. Everything's related to something else. Including you, including me, our bodies, all these phenomena. But that isn't the way we perceive things. We perceive everything to be discrete and isolated, separate and different and inherent and out there. A massive gap between our mind and these objects. We don't feel that our mind is in any way involved in bringing these objects into existence. We feel they're just there. I just came to this temple and it's just here. Well, no. This temple is an appearance to our mind. How do I know that? Because later on it will disappear. The only things that can disappear are appearances. If something existed inherently, it could never disappear. Anyway, sorry, I'm going a bit deep here. But it's really important that we get this eventually. The whole book, the whole all of Buddha's teaching is going the same way. Finally, we get enough merit in our mind, a good fortune through listening to these teachings, that we begin to understand this. So that's why I need to repeat it often. Even if you've heard it many times, we all need to try to understand how enlightened beings perceive, how they see.